Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan back at the station. It is the Killer Bees on a Friday on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's a Frankie's Friday Fire. We're broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Awesome place with tons of televisions.
It's phenomenal.
They have the two biggest screens in the entire Heights. They have a 250-inch screen on the south patio.
I got one in my living room. So, I mean, that's just where we're at with that. No, this place is absolutely fabulous. You want to talk about all the bells and whistles, brand spanking new, just beautiful inside and out. If you haven't been, you need to, because this is the spot. So not only just watch sports, but just to mingle and enjoy some spirits. It's awesome.
Great hospitality, too, because they're usually not open yet, but because they wanted to open up for us, they are open, and we want you to come on out, swing on by, and they have some specials, too, while we're on the air. 97.5 Beer Bucket Special, 5 domestic beers for just $20 during our broadcast. Swing on by, say hello to us. The Woolhouse will be here this afternoon as well, 3 to 7. Perfect spot for your happy hour, and happy hour specials until 8 as well. It is also a Frankie's Friday Fire. You bring the heat, we'll buy you dinner. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, to whoever brings the heat the best, whether it's via the phone, whether it's text message, Twitch, Twitter, whatever the case may be. You bring the heat, we buy your dinner.
And the heat meaning you can be positive. If there's something positive to talk about in Houston sports and you want to be that guy,
or Blank,
if you want to rip to shreds the Texans coaching search or other things involving maybe the Rockets and getting blown out by 30 by the Spurs or something like that, hey, whatever you do, do it well. And when you do it well, you have the chance to cash in $50 from Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
Did that happen? Did I miss that? Rockets losing by 30 to the Spurs a few days ago.
The other night, yep, they're playing again tonight, so they got another chance to embarrass themselves yet again.
So Kevin O'Connell has entered the chat. He apparently has been interviewed by the Houston Texans, even though HoustonTexans.com on their head coach tracker, not mentioning that for whatever reason, which I find to be a little bit curious, but we saw all the talking heads, Schefter, Rappaport, all of those dudes, say that the Texans have indeed met with Kevin O'Connell, and the reason that's significant, one, is because he's playing in the NFC Championship game, coaching in the NFC Championship game on Sunday against the 49ers. Everybody thought that that interview was going to take place next week. So to me, this changes up the timeline a little bit.
It does a little bit. And it was it actually kind of fills in some of the gaps we had yesterday when we said, well, why have they were they gung-ho for like 5 days and then all of a sudden just went radio silent? Well, yeah. Evidently, just like their training camp rules and when they decide training camps over and other things, they don't follow the rules of the NFL where they're supposed to report in and publicize everyone that they've spoken to, ask permission to speak to, and interviewed. So at least it shows that they're still hard at work at this and didn't just take a little reprieve for a couple of days. But it's also interesting because there's a guy that's not out of the Patriots tree. There's a guy that's more onto that Sean McVay and Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan kind of mold of the new, more new fad offensive system and way of thinking. He doesn't call the plays, but he is knee-deep in an NFC Championship game, so he brings some cred with him as a coordinator. So I kind of like it.
We took a look at Kevin O'Connell whenever it was announced that the Texans requested permission to interview him, and the tea leaf said that he was going to interview for the job. It happened someday this week. Only 36 years old, so a very young candidate. Like most of the guys they've interviewed are all pretty young. Brian Flores, Vince Lombardi's grandson, Joe, Hines Ward, Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown.
Wait, they're related?
Jonathan Gannon, all very young guys the Texans have interviewed. He played high school basketball at Chase Budinger. There's your Houston connection.
Right. He has more of a connection than Ryan Hollins.
Okay, I see what you did
there.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
You know, whenever Nick Caserio was named a director of player personnel in New England was in 2008, you know his very first draft class? He took, well, I don't know how much Nick Caserio was drafting, but the first year with Nick Caserio as the director of player personnel, their first round pick was Gerard Mayo. Their third-round pick was Kevin O'Connell. Interesting, Kevin O'Connell did get cut the next preseason, though, bounced around the league for a little bit. He's been coaching since 2015, Cleveland, San Francisco, Washington, L.A. You know how I feel about the McVay tree. I believe in it. I like it. Zach Taylor has shown me that, hey, that's a pretty good candidate. It's a pretty good coach from the McVay tree. Same thing with Brandon Staley. There's a dude, Matt LaFleur. You know him very well, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I like the McVay tree. I can get excited about Kevin O'Connell.
I can for that and one other big key reason, and that is it's not the Patriots way. It's not the Belichick tree. It's not Patriots South adding another ex-New Englander to the roster of employees of the Houston Texans. At a certain point, whether it be by failure of their own or others, or just, you know, lack of certain things that have, you know, gone their way, stop doing it and try a different way. It doesn't mean that, you know, you can't get intertwined with guys that have come from other systems. It helps. It's the same reason why when you're interviewing candidates, you may interview a candidate that has nothing in common with your style, like the Patriots way, but you may pick up a few things. We talked about that. You get some intel. You get some guys, that some forward thinkers that maybe can take the game to another level for your team. It's the same way with this. If you have a combination of the Belichick tree and the McVay tree and they can mesh cohesively, who's to say that that's not the best of both worlds? Because we know Belichick's tree normally is pretty good defensively. You know the McVay tree can move the football. Now all you got to worry about is special teams, and you're in a pretty good spot.
I'm going to dispel the Patriot way and the Patriot South coming up later in the show. Make sure you're listening at 1 o'clock.
But you can't dispel the fact that in just pure hires alone.
I think I'll do it. I'll do it. We just look forward to 1 o'clock, the 1 o'clock hour. What's your hunch on what's going to happen right now? Now that we know that O'Connell, at some point interviewed this week, we know the candidates that they've interviewed, which is a lot shorter list than we saw last year. Brian Flores, Vince Lombardi's grandson Joe, Hines Ward, Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, Jonathan Gannon. If we're looking at this and kind of guessing what's going to happen, our best educated guess, our hypothesis on what the Houston Texans are going to do, what's your hunch as we talk right now, the last Friday in January?
My hunch is still that it ends up being someone with New England ties, whether it be Flores or Mayo. But again, we said they were supposed to be hot on the Mayo trail, never have requested, or as far as we know, or gotten an interview with him, though the Raiders have. And now the Raiders end up going with a guy that you would think was a natural for the Texans job in Josh McDaniel. So now that makes you scratch your head and go, what are they really thinking? I think that the logical choice might be someone with a coordinator experience, and this might be a big interview. But this goes back to what we said yesterday, Jeremy. It doesn't matter what we think, because just because you've got a coordinator that's in the NFC Championship game that's on your radar that's going to come and interview doesn't mean that another team that still has an opening comes to him as well and says, where do you really want to go? A team that's got what we got going on, or a team that's the Houston Texans?
Right, but you can have a hunch for the situation. And O'Connell is a name that's been mentioned. I saw in Minnesota yesterday, too, after the circulation on social media that O'Connell was a hot candidate for the Texans, that interview with the Texans job, all of a sudden Minnesota, oh, yeah, we really like Kevin O'Connell, too. So there's going to be suitors for Kevin O'Connell. How serious is it in Minnesota? Will he get offered by somewhere else? My hunch right now, I feel like if they make a decision today, which I think is slim but possible.
It is possible.
It'd be Josh McCown.
I hate that.
You would save that for the Friday news dump. That would be something that would happen like at 2, 3 o'clock, something that where you try to get through the week and then you announce it right before a big NFL weekend. I could see that happening today. If it does not happen today and it's early next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's Kevin O'Connell in my opinion. If they wait until past Wednesday, I swing back to McCown as the next head coach.
And I could see that, but I think that in a lot of ways, especially like you talk about and like I always say, this franchise more so than any other is highly focused on what the media thinks, what the fans think, what the rumor mill says, what everybody's talking about. And you're right. If they're going to get a head coach that they want to make a splash, they're going to do it late today so they can get that news cycle right into the 4, 5, and 10. And then on top of that, they're going to roll through the weekend leading into the championship games where they're going to talk about that with Jay Glazer and whoever's doing whatever in their pregames in their studios. But if they get to O'Connell, I like it more because of the fact that you're getting a guy right off the NFC Championship game. You're getting a guy with coordinator experience. You're getting a guy that's a hot name that's going to give them a lot of positive exposure, and that's what they want. They want to get that run of, hey, this isn't the Texans anymore the way everybody's bashing us. We're going to go a different direction with a different dude. But I throw it back at you and say, look, with everything that we both say about if it could be O'Connell, and I cringe about – I just – for all the things that we've exhausted about McCown, I'm just
we got more today.
Leery about that super. here's my thinking, though. If I'm O'Connell, if I know that the Minnesota Vikings, who supposedly were hot on the trail of wrapping up DeMeco Ryans, now all of a sudden they're focused on him too. If I'm O'Connell and I'm sitting in my big chair getting ready for the game going, if I got to choose which one, let's just weigh him out, let's do the whiteboard thing. How in the world do the Texans compete with what the Vikings, besides weather and state tax, how can you compete with the weapons and everything that Minnesota brings to the table as opposed to where the franchise is for the Texans?
You can't. I mean, if he got offered both jobs, he's taking the Minnesota job. There's no doubt about it. If the Texans want Kevin O'Connell, they have to hope Minnesota hires DeMeco Ryans, because if he gets offered both of those jobs, goodbye, you're on to your plan B and your second candidate.
But then do they take, again, you get seconds, but do you look at DeMeco Ryans and say, hey, we had heard Minnesota was already down the road with him. Do you look at him, and from his standpoint, and I think it's something we brought up early on that a lot of people downplayed, I'm not sure he would take the job or even the interview because he still had the lawsuit with NRG, and he kind of left with bad feelings when he left the Texans.
The Texans haven't requested an interview with DeMeco Ryans, and it doesn't fit their plan or philosophy. I don't think the Texans have any interest in DeMeco Ryans, and you could think that's flawed logic, and that'd be a fair thought. I don't believe the Texans have any interest in DeMeco Ryans. Where it stands right now, I think Kevin O'Connell's going to be the head coach. I think Pep Hamilton's going to take the Chicago job. We'll get into that in a second. I think they'll hire Josh McCown as like the associate head coach / offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach. But keep in mind, Kevin O'Connell's going to be the guy calling
call the plays
as the head coach. So McCown's going to be that in title alone. You keep Lovie Smith as your defensive coordinator. I think those are your top three guys. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach. Josh McCown, your OC in name alone, because O'Connell's calling the plays. Lovie Smith is your DC. How do you feel about that if that's your coaching staff going into next year?
I'm okay because you got the coaching experience on multiple levels with a guy like Lovie Smith who's been there, done that, and can kind of guide him through. You've got your coach in waiting, your Josh McDaniel to Belichick, so to speak, that ends up being a guy that you finally get on the staff to learn on the job and understand if he can really do what everybody thinks that and has built him up to be able to do in McCown. So that's good, too. You also look at this and say the reason why O'Connell makes sense and he could flourish is, and also that Sean McVay will let him go and do and interview for this job and take it, the same way when Matt LaFleur was his offensive coordinator in the same situation but not calling plays, Sean McVay was good enough to say, if you can go to a spot where you're going to be in the same position but you're going to call the plays, I'm going to let you do that. He went to Tennessee. He did that for a year. He got the Green Bay job because of it. Now, you take a step out of the process where he doesn't have to go and prove himself as a play-calling OC, but at least he gets now the freedom to do what LaFleur did and flourish the same way LaFleur did by saying, I learned all I can learn. I know the system like the back of my hand. Now I'm going to call the plays, but I'm also going to be the head coach.
All right, we're broadcasting live in the Drift Bar in the Heights. Swing on by, 1207 West 20th. Also, just look for the big screen. You drive on by, you'll see it. You'll see us. Come inside. Say hello. The 97.5 Beer Bucket Special. 5 domestic beers for $20 throughout the broadcast. We'll be here till 3. Wheelhouse will be here till 7. Drift Bar will be here a lot longer than that. High tides and good vibes here at the Drift Bar in the Heights. It is also at Frankie's Friday Fire. You bring the heat. $50 of Frankie's Italian Kitchen is yours. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. We're sort of on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're in the chat. Also on Twitter, Joel's at Pac-Man Joel, and I'm at Jeremy Branham. Last year's list of candidates, a lot longer than it is this season. What are the signs of that? Also, Pep Hamilton interviewing in Chicago. What does that mean for the Texans next? Killer Bees, ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Doc Linville's office. Look, I've been telling you about him for quite a while, and I'll keep singing his praises because he's got this NeoGraft procedure, and he does all kinds of plastic surgeries and other things, but he's really focused for ESPN listeners on the NeoGraft procedure because if you lost your original hairline, if you've got that baboon's butt on the back of your head because that bald spot keeps getting bigger and you don't think you can do anything but shave your head, you can fix it all through Doc Linville. And right now, a consultation with him in his office is absolutely free. It normally costs $150. But make the appointment, make the consultation, go to 975hair.com and figure out what so many of us like John Granato and myself and Fred Fowler and others are talking about in terms of changing your life, changing your appearance and your self-confidence by getting your hair back with the NeoGraft procedure. If you go to 975hair.com, you can register and you can make that appointment. It's no charge. Ask all the tough questions. Ask the things that I did, like the success rate, 95%+. It's phenomenal. It's your own hair. They're taking it from where you have a lot, putting it where you don't have any, and making a great coverage area so that your entire scalp and your entire amount of hair looks fantastic and your appearance is upgraded that much more. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's a great deal with great people. Doc's already assured me he's not raising his prices through the end of January for ESPN listeners. He's going to take those consultants, those consultation meetings, and he's going to help the listeners to get on the schedule so he can take care of them like he's taking care of us and get you to be the next in line. Check out Doc Linville today. Go to 975hair.com.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Swing on by. Happy hour until 8 every Monday through Friday, 4 to 8. Happy hour, $1 off all draft beers, $7 deep Eddie vodkas, any flavor, any way you like it, $5 Maker Mark bourbon as well. So you look at last year's list of candidates for the Houston Texans job, Joel. All these guys interviewed for this job. Eric Bieniemy, Joe Brady, Jim Caldwell, David Culley, Matt Eberflus, who rejected it at first and then interviewed for it, Leslie Frazier, Tim Kelly, how in the world did that happen, Marvin Lewis, Josh McCown, Brandon Staley. So that you have a list there, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different guys. Right now you have 6. Brian Flores, Jonathan Gannon, Joe Lombardi, Josh McCown, Hines Ward, and
Kevin O'Connell. Is Joe Lombardi related to anybody?
Yeah, Vince. He's Vince Lombardi's grandson.
Ah, got it.
Yeah, he's Vince Lombardi's grandson. So last year you had a longer list, and I think if you were to ask anybody who's like pays attention to the NFL, pays attention to the coaching carousel, that there are more interesting names on last year's list than this year's list. Eric Bieniemy is always a popular name. I still feel like my hunch on him is that he's waiting the Kansas City job at some point. Leslie Frazier, one of the finalists, he's getting interviews other places. Brandon Staley, until he kind of blew it late in the season with all his questionable decisions, he was a hot shot coach this year with this new cutting edge style, going for it, playing the analytics games. So last year, Eberflus, who's now the head coach of Chicago, last year's interview list, you look back at it and you're like, okay, there's some good candidates there. Those are some solid names that you could get excited about. This year, Brian Flores, Jonathan Gannon, Joe Lombardi, Josh McCown, Hines Ward, Kevin O'Connell. Whenever you look at this year versus last year and you compare the two, what does that say to you?
Well, what you hope it says to you is we've learned our lesson, because not every guy that's a hot name is the right fit for our system and our philosophies. And so this time, we've really got to kind of tighten the screws and just talk to guys and go after guys, one we think that are attainable. Because there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be on the hot list that aren't even going to, as you and I have both mentioned, they're not even going to sniff Houston because they're like, why would I go there? Then there's going to be other guys that you know that you can have a conversation with. Sometimes that's why we're talking about guys that have never been head coaches or coordinators, because you have to consider what's your best chance to have long-term and short-term success and get a guy that would actually consider coming here. It's going to be a guy that's under-experienced, like a lot of the guys that we've talked about on the list this year. Then the other thing you have to do is you have to sit down and get down to brass tacks to say, philosophically, systematically, and culturally, can I find someone that is at least a high percentage on the same page as us? And can we have open dialogue in the interview process to figure out, can we find a common ground on those areas that we may differ so that we can do what I believe is Nick Caserio and or if Jack's involved, so that we can do what we need to put this thing in the right direction the right way.
See, I think that they have, and doing it for the second time in 13 months, to me, it's more of a clear plan on what they're trying to execute. Like, they have a plan, and they're trying to execute that plan. And you might disagree with the plan, and you might say that their philosophy is wrong. But to me, it seemed more streamlined, more to the point. In some cases, like the McCown, they're interviewing him for the second time, getting a second look at him. And if it is McCown, it's someone that they've probably known that they've wanted since before Caserio was even the GM, if you want to go back to that Albert Breer email. Like, to me, this is the fact that it's a clear plan. It's clear they had a way of what they feel is right. Like, and you, again, you might disagree with the Caserio way, the Easterby way, if he has any influence in it whatsoever. Because if you look at the list of candidates, their idea is they want to hire somebody that's not going to be seen as an equal to Nick Caserio. Like, all the dudes that have been candidates and interviewed this year, the only one that stands out to me that's different than all of the others is Brian Flores, for a couple of reasons. One, he's been a head coach before. None of the others have been head coaches in the NFL. But I also look at Brian Flores, where he's going to demand the respect where he's an equal with the general manager, right? He's not going to let Nick Caserio run all over him. He's not going to let Nick Caserio telling him to let the Patriots score right late in the fourth quarter. He's not going to do that because he's going to want to be an equal with the GM, as opposed to the other guys, where it's Lombardi, whether it's Ward, whether it's O'Connell, whether it's McCown, whether it's Gannon. The idea there is that Caserio's going to hire one of those dudes who he feels is a subordinate, right? That is a less
than. He's doing you a solid so that you understand from the get-go, you're the only reason, I'm the only reason why you're here, and I'm your boss, so you do what I say.
That's the way I view it. And to me, the Brian Flores, like, candidacy is the one that sticks out to me more than all of the others is the name that does not belong, like an SAT question. Which of these candidates doesn't make as much sense as all of the other ones? Because if you look at the way that they're going about this and what we know about David Culley and what Nick Caserio said about David Culley, where he had a lot of the things that they liked in a head coach, he looks at it in terms of leadership. He wants a coach that's going to get his players to, you know, play at their optimal level. All of that kind of mindset. Albert Breer, I was reading up a lot on, like, Nick Caserio, the Patriot way, earlier today. Albert Breer had this thought where he said Caserio has told people that he believes you need a different type of coach, more of a unifier to reach players and build the right culture than you did in generations past. So Nick Caserio has a different philosophy of hiring a head coach than any other general manager in the NFL. And that might be a bad way of conducting business, but the fact that this list is shorter than it was last year tells me that they have a plan and they're trying to execute their plan.
To believe that. You'd like to believe that it's a more concise list of candidates that more directly fits what he's, like I said, what he's looking to do, both systematically, culturally, and philosophically from an organizational standpoint. And that's why he's zeroing in. And also because you firmly believe there's exactly what I said earlier in this segment about the fact that the reason why there's not a lot of big names on there, because not a lot of big names are signing up for that, especially with the lack of talent on the roster, the upheaval that has been over the last, you know, year or two with what everything has happened with the Texans and Deshaun and the bad look and Easterby and O'Brien and digging out. It just seems like it's more negatives than positives. There's not going to be experienced, solid head coaching candidates that have already been there, done that, that are going to go, you know what? I'm going for my next go-round. And what do they always say? If you fail, whether it be short-term or long-term, your next job may be your last job, so you better be very particular when you pick it. And a lot of these guys are saying, if I have other opportunities at all, I'm not taking Houston because there's too many things hurdles to overcome before I even get to do what I want to do, and then I got to deal with Nick.
And I'm relating that too to D'Amico. Like, D'Amico maybe hasn't done it before, but he's a hotshot candidate that at some point is going to get an NFL head coaching job. Does he want his maybe one opportunity to be tied at the hitch with a Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans?
Jeremy, I really believe, and it may be a bit of a reach, I believe that there is still residual effects from how he left
the
team.
Oh, I do too.
And also because of the lawsuit with NRG, and they're still playing in NRG, though it's a different surface. I just think that that's one of those jobs and one of those situations at a point in his past where he said, if I can go anywhere else and I don't have to do that, I'm not doing that.
No, I completely agree. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line for the first time on a Frankie's Friday Fire. 713-780-ESPN. Having trouble with the phone line. We'll get out there as soon as we can. 713-780-3776. Pep Hamilton interviewing with the Chicago Bears earlier today. That's been reported on the NFL cycle. What are your thoughts on the Pep Hamilton interviewing with Chicago? Do you think it has any meaning with whether Houston Texans are? And is Pep Hamilton the one you can't let go?
Let me give you something, and kind of when you get on these tangent whims about what you think that might be possibly happening behind the scenes, and that's not a bad thing. That's just when we speculate. Speculating on this, let's go back and remember a week or so ago, Pep Hamilton took his name out of the running and did not want to be considered for the Carolina OC job. So we thought immediately, well, that means that they're doing something to say, hey, we're going to guarantee you're going to be the OC for whoever the next head coach is. We need you to stay. We want you to stay. You know the system. Hang around. Now suddenly he's interviewing with the Bears. What that might tell me is is that kind of like the Leftwich situation with Jacksonville. As they zero in on a guy that we might not know about, but that they already know is their guy, he might have some qualms about going, I don't want to take an OC that I don't have a relationship with, no matter how much you like him. And if I'm expected to be graded on my performance, I need to work with guys I know and trust. He might not fit what I'm trying to do, and therefore I don't want him. They might have gone back to Pep and said, hey, change of plans. We love you, but if there's a guy or two that we're zooming in on or zeroing in on, especially an offensive-minded guy like O'Connell, that might say, hey, if I'm going to get an OC, he's got to be someone that is very much experienced with a McVay-type offense, and I don't like Pep Hamilton. For whatever the case may be, though Pep came from the Chargers. So you look at it and say, there might be something we don't know in terms of Pep was already – last week he was their guy. And this week, because they're finding their head coach, he might not be their guy anymore.
What's interesting, too, about this, like, I feel like it's more likely that it's Kevin O'Connell than Josh McCown if Pep Hamilton were to leave. Because if it's Kevin O'Connell as the head coach, you figure he's going to be the dude calling the plays. Yeah. Josh McCown wouldn't be calling the plays. I know it brings up the question of, well, why in the world will Pep Hamilton want to work under Josh McCown? Well, he'd still be an offensive coordinator. He still wouldn't have to uproot his family that lives in Pearland, and his son's a very good quarterback for the Pearland Oilers, and all of a sudden have to move to Chicago. Now, it makes sense from a Chicago front because they have a young quarterback. Pep Hamilton has a history of working with young quarterbacks and doing it at a pretty good rate. Whether it was Davis Mills this year, looked good for a rookie third rounder. Andrew Luck in the past. Justin Herbert last season.
Here's another reason why it could be O'Connell. Because Pep wants to call the plays. And one of the reasons why he would stay and avoid going to Carolina or elsewhere is because they're going to let him call the plays in the new system with the new guy, and that was part of the deal. And if you get O'Connell, he's not going to get what you had told him he was going to get. So therefore, if both parties are being honest, that's why he's interviewing again.
It might sound crazy, but I feel like if it was Josh McCown, Pep Hamilton has more of a likelihood to stay than if it's Kevin O'Connell. Pep Hamilton, by the way, like he had 3 years as an OC whenever Andrew Luck was with the Colts. 2013, they were 15th in offense. 2014, they were third in offense. And then 2015, his final year, they were 28th, and he was fired in November. Now, Andrew Luck played about half the season there. When you look at those 3 years as an OC, is that something you'd be willing to take for your team? 15th, 3rd, 28th?
I mean, it's
pretty mediocre, right?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good, and it's kind of volatile. It's very high and very low. And overall, I mean, the only thing I would rebuttal to that is how picky can you be based on what you have to offer in terms of what you have to work with, because the expectations have to be extremely low for at least one more season that you're not going to be breaking it through the ceiling and making some groundbreaking, you know, rise up the charts offensively, no matter what, you know, kind of system you put in and what kind of coaching you have, because you don't have the players to execute it.
If Pep Hamilton were to leave for Chicago, what does it mean for the Houston Texans? Also, what do you make, Houston, of the list of candidates being shorter this year than the last go-around? What's your read on that? 713-780-ESPN, a Frankie's Friday Fire, 713-780-3776. We'll do that. Also, when we return, some storylines heading into the AFC and NFC championship games this weekend. It's the Killer Bees.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live from the Drift Bar in the Heights. Come on, say hello. 1207 West Street, high tides, good vibes, cold beer, refreshing cocktails, happy hour until 8. And also, while we're on the air, 97.5 beer bucket special, 5 domestic beers, $20 throughout the broadcast. Also, at Frankie's Friday Fire, you bring the heat, we buy you dinner. Let's go around the NFL. Okay. Couple of games on Sunday. You know, there's only 3 football games left in the NFL season.
Yep.
I was thinking about
that
the other day. Yeah. It is a little depressing.
Especially when you talk about Houston and you know that as much as you and I care about basketball, and Charlie cares about college basketball, and I should say both, but that Houston's just not a basketball town right now because of the Rockets, and they should be a college town, and they're not. And so you know from our perspective that it just shifts every – it's like a monumental shift every time football ends.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But the good news about it is the offseason's going to be hot and heavy. The offseason's going to be very good from a Houston Texan perspective. Maybe not good but entertaining. Like, whoever the head coach is going to be, that's a great storyline.
We're not going to be short of topics.
Number three pick in the NFL draft. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson, which we'll get to a little bit of that a little bit later. But Cincinnati heads to Arrowhead. We'll do our picks a little bit later in the show. But Cincinnati at Kansas City, rematch of the Week 17 Classic. Bengals, you might remember, came from behind to win that game 34-31. Joe Burrow had 446 yards in that game, four touchdowns. 11 catches, 266 yards, and three touchdowns by Ja'Marr Chase for the Bengals in that game. And Andy Reid, head coach of Kansas City, big fan of Joe Burrow.
These young quarterbacks are great for this league. He's one of them. So he's a heck of a football player. And, he does a nice job with those guys. And Zach does a nice job with them, along with their coordinator and coaches. So he's a coach's kid that knows the game and kind of gets it.
Joe Burrow said that he's been at SEC Stadium, so going to Arrowhead's going to be like nothing at all. SEC stadiums are pretty loud.
They are, but
you don't think it matches Arrowhead?
No, I don't. I really don't. In terms of just the overall and no, I don't. But look, I love the matchup. I just hope it's a good game. I hope it's as good of a game as we got a couple weeks ago when the two teams played. I hope Joe Burrow lives up to expectations and can do at least something like Josh Allen did, and that we get into another situation. Like, by the way, everybody was trying to think of the name you should call the Bills-Chiefs game, the Immaculate Reception and the Ice Bowl and all that stuff. And I thought that they were overthinking it. Why don't we just call it the KC Masterpiece?
I see what you did there.
You know, but yeah, you kind of combined a lot of different
things. What were some other names they talked about?
Oh, someone's saying they were, like, even this morning, BK and Lance were kicking around. Well, you got to have 13 seconds in it, so it's got to be the 13 seconds of this. I was like, no, you really don't. I mean, you're looking for something that rolls off the tongue, that kind of fits the overall. Both guys played phenomenal. Both teams were amazing. So you look at it and say, that was a masterful performance. And KC Masterpiece is KC. There you go.
You can put KC Masterpiece on Buffalo Wings.
Boom. You're welcome. There you go. Another gem from the Killer Bees. It's really not that hard, people. Just, you know, sometimes just turn it over to the experts that know what they're doing. And you got that. I just think that the thing that worried me, and you know this because I've said this and thrown this out as a question to several of the national guys we've had on. Look, as good as divisional playoff weekend was in the NFL, and it might have been the best one of all time, there is a huge, huge possibility we're looking at blowouts this week in both championship games, which would be somewhat of a bummer. But it would also guarantee you got a pretty damn good matchup in the Super Bowl. But if you look at the underdog in this game, it's definitely the Bengals. If you look at how many times that Joe Burrow 9 was sacked and how many other times he was pressured, and he still was able to do, to Andy Reid's point, with all that being said, he was still able to do what he did to win that football game against a really good defense. That's fantastic. I don't know if you can do it again, and I don't know if they can match the points that the Chiefs are going to put up every single time they touch the football.
I'm not sure there's anybody in the class of Pat Mahomes from young quarterbacks, even Josh Allen. Like, Allen's probably the closest. Joe Burrow goes into Arrowhead, beats Kansas City, beats Pat Mahomes. At Arrowhead Stadium, you can elevate Joe Burrow into that conversation. Yep. The other game, San Francisco heads to L.A. A couple of storylines here that are fascinating. The first one is Kyle Shanahan has beaten Sean McVay 6 times in a row. Sean McVay asked, is Kyle Shanahan in your head?
No. What I do have is respect for these guys. They've done a great job. You know, you look at it, you got to play well in that 3.5-hour window that we're allotted. You look at the last time that we played them, didn't finish the game. But this is a really good football team. We have a lot of respect for them, but you know, we're competing and preparing to the best of our ability to go out and see if we can advance. But this is a really good team. Kyle's an excellent coach. They got great players, great coaches, good schemes. And so that's why they're in the NFC Championship.
I bet the Rams in that final game of the 49ers in the regular season. Rams were up 2 possessions, I believe, in the first half before San Francisco had to come from behind. How much stock do you put in the fact that the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan have beaten the Rams and Sean McVay 6 straight?
I don't. I will say this, though. That was all complete coach speak, and he didn't want to give him any bulletin board material. But I guarantee you, behind closed doors, at least in passing, it comes up a couple times where I'm tired of hearing this crap, and we're a better football team than they are, and it's time we show it. Because just like you said, one half doesn't matter. We were dominant in the first half of a game and had a 2-score lead on them, and then we ended up losing a game, letting them into the playoffs because of it, and now having to beat them to get to the Super Bowl. We need to change the narrative, and we need to change it now because they're in our division, and if we don't this year, it's going to be back next year louder than ever.
The quarterback conversation of this one is interesting, too. A lot of people were expecting this to be Jimmy Garoppolo's final season as a San Francisco 49er. They used all the draft capital to trade up for number three and select Trey Lance. Jimmy G still has 1 year left on the contract. I imagine he'd be attractive for teams that are looking for quarterbacks. We got asked this question yesterday in our Twitch. When was the last time that a quarterback won a Super Bowl and was not on the team the following year? Trent Dilfer, 2000, with Baltimore, won the Super Bowl, was not brought back by the Baltimore Ravens, and then kind of fizzled away in the rest of his career. The Matthew Stafford conversation's interesting, too, because Brendan Riley, he's a big Matthew Stafford fan.
He
sent an email to Matthew Stafford's wife trying to get tickets to this
game. He told me about that.
I hope that it's successful. He hadn't told us that he's going, so I imagine it was not successful. But interesting conversation, or at least an interesting question that he brought up yesterday that I wanted to run by you. Is Matthew Stafford more of a Hall of Famer or more Kirk Cousins?
I'm saying more Kirk Cousins. I think he was an opportunist in terms of at one point being the highest paid player in the game when he was quarterback of the Lions. I've been a guy that ever since the trade was made before that have been out there saying he can play quarterback. And I saw him twice a year for all of his years in Detroit. And he beat the Packers in Lambeau, and he made good throws. And if he had a good team around him, he would be even better right now. But because he didn't, and he wasn't, in terms of wins and losses and stats, that affects his Hall of Fame status. Now, is he trying to elevate it late in his career? Sure. Is he making a run, and longevity, can it play a part in that? Sure. Can he still have a chance to do it? Absolutely. But right now, I just think that he is more on the Kirk Cousins side of things than he is a Hall of Famer.
To me, if he gets the Super Bowl, he's closer to the Hall of Famer than Kirk Cousins. He's going to be on some all-time career list.
I'm saying more comparable to a Kirk Cousins than a Hall of Fame-type quarterback.
But if he wins a Super Bowl, I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, I think he'll be a Hall of Famer.
It's not that cut and dried yet.
He's on some of the all-time career list for like passing yards, touchdowns. I think at some point he'd get
money
there, especially
earned.
If he wins the Super Bowl. Now, there is some thought here that there's going to be a San Francisco invasion. That's why you had Matthew Stafford's wife like reaching out to Stafford fans. Come to L.A. You had the city of L.A. not selling tickets to anybody outside of the city limits. You think it's going to be a San Fran takeover like it was in the regular season there in L.A.?
Look, I've been through this with the Rockets when the Spurs fans used to come to town and try to infiltrate the building. And, you do whatever you can to try and strategically not allow the visiting team to get a lot of tickets. But at the end of the day, all that's saying is people in L.A. are going to make money because they're the ones that are allowed to buy the tickets. And then on the secondary market, they're going to be able to unload those tickets, made a big profit. The Niner fans have money. They're coming from Silicon Valley where they've got more money, disposable income, and money to throw around than just about anywhere else. And if they love their Niners, they'll do exactly what they did. They'll just find a different way to do it like they did a couple of weeks ago when they went to SoFi. You shouldn't worry about the fans. You should worry about being the better team on Sunday. And that's what I think that they have to focus on. The fact that right now some of these swing for the fences moves that they made Von Miller look like at early on when he got there, that it was going to be a wasted move, but now he's starting to make an impact. Aaron Donald is impactful every time he takes the field. And when you've got a shutdown corner like Ramsey, and you can put Jalen Ramsey on Debo, then the Niners are really limited in terms of they have some options, but they're severely limited by the fact that they have a lockdown corner that can take away your biggest weapon.
San Fran's got to get pressure on Stafford without sending the house. They got to do it with their front four. Their front four. Get pressure with their front four, let everything else rest in coverage.
Warner's huge, too. If he's healthy with that ankle, which he looked like he was last week and he's a week better now, he's such an impactful linebacker that he's going to make a difference. And then with Bosa, if Bosa comes off the concussion after an extra week and now he can get back to his normal self, they can do some things.
We'll discuss our picks and give our picks a little bit later in the 2 o'clock hour. Coming up next, Deshaun Watson's massage manager had a conversation with Tony Busby. Busby took public. We'll dive into that when we return. Also, some people want to get in on this Frankie's Friday Fire. We have a couple calls on the line. Also, a couple of texts I want to get to. We'll do that when we return. Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Drift Bar in the Heights as you listen on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Stiller Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from the Drift Bar, 1207 West 20th. Tons of TVs watching some golf right now. Some highlights from the U.S. men's national team yesterday, winning a big World Cup qualifier game. That was outstanding. All right, let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Before we went to the call, Jeremy's so good with names. There was a female golfer on right now, John Granato, and I was just going to say, Jeremy, quick, just read that name for me.
I didn't see it.
What he could have come up with would have been entertainment for the masses.
I saw the first four letters of her first name, and that's all I needed to see.
And there were like 11 of them after that. So,
all right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. How y'all doing? Good show again today.
What's up, Keith?
Hey, in the state of Missouri, they're printing up T-shirts by the thousands with references to 13 seconds. We got 13 seconds left. We can get it done in 13 seconds. All we need is 13 seconds. Here's a question. Houston Texans, what does their T-shirt say? I think it says, not hiring, no experience necessary.
It's not bad.
That's a pretty good line. Appreciate the call, Keith, even though I disagree with the experience thing. I was thinking about this. I can't remember what I was thinking about this. I think a lot. But
this was another rabbit hole you were diving down?
Yeah, it was. Whenever you assess a head coach and you grade a head coach, like after he gets the job, whether it's 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 7 years down the road, whether it was a passing grade or whether it was a failing grade, like is experience ever the reason a dude has success or a dude fails? Almost never.
No, it's a reason why you get the job in the first place,
right.
And then it's what you do once you walk through those doors for the first time until you walk out for the final time, and nothing else matters, and that's all you should be evaluated on, because unless we're talking about, like, are you getting in the Hall of Fame, are you, you know, up for this or that, the only thing that matters is how you coach your team and the results your team gets in the situation you are being hired for. And by the way, as good of a call as that was for Keith and Brendan, obviously we'll mark that to qualify for the gift card. Here's the thing. You already know what my T-shirt says. As good as that was,
yeah.
There's only one T-shirt coming for me. Embrace the suck. That's it. That's all you need to do. This year and then again next year, embrace the suck. Don't fight it. Don't try and tell me how good a win and two wins here would do or that. Just embrace it, and it'll turn out better for you in the long run.
I'm an embrace the suck kind of guy, even for next year as well. Definitely was in 2021. In fact, I wish they would have embraced the suck a little bit more and had the number one pick as opposed to the number three pick. Even if there's not a huge gap there, rather be drafting number one than number three. Now, going into next season, like how much of that suck do you want them to embrace? Do you want them to be 1-16? Are you okay with like 5-12?
I think it depends on how
Davis
Mills looks. But I still want high draft picks, because even if you don't need a quarterback, you still need so many other guys at so many different positions that are at the top of their position group. You still got to be like in the top five.
I want them to embrace the suck, but a little bit less, because I want to see Davis Mills get a fair shake. I really do. Like if it means improving the offensive line by drafting Evan Neal, and if you trade Tunsil, then he plays left tackle. If not, he plays right tackle. Bring in a decent receiver. Not that you're spending big money, but I'd like to see Davis Mills have like a real offense to try to showcase if he has the talent to be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
I thought of another one, and I don't know if I could say it on the radio, so I probably shouldn't because Tyler's here. But instead of embrace the suck, if you want to get like close to it but not doing that, there's another thing that you could do kind of in between that gets you along the same lines. But I'll leave it there for the imagination. Maybe during the break I'll see if I'm allowed to say it. By the way, from a Kansas City perspective, if everything you're talking about is the 13 seconds and all we need is 13 seconds, you're definitely a fighter and not a lover. I don't think it's a good look for the city overall. But, hey, if that's all it takes is 13 seconds, hey, you do you, people. Way to go, KC. Maybe that is a KC masterpiece.
It was because of the last drive and the regulation. Tyreek, Kelsey.
Okay, but here's the other thing, because we talked about this the other day, and I think it might have been the day you were out when we did it with Paul. The whole Brittany, Pat Mahomes' fiance, now wife, or what, and the mother of his child, now she's got T-shirts.
Yeah, I saw that today.
Either Free Brittany or some. When can you just go away and realize you have less talent than the Brittany, and you are more relevant on a daily basis because of your own doing on social media? Just go fade into the sunset. Stop spraying champagne on fans and making T-shirts and dancing with his little brother. Just get out of the way.
Overall, she's a cloud chaser, no doubt about it. But I didn't have a problem with the champagne. Like, you're popping champagne, spraying it to Arrowhead in a celebratory moment. I thought that was awesome.
Right. I said that. That's fine. Yeah. I totally agree with you on that. But overall, she has been so thirsty, so capitalizing on all Pat's fame to make a name for her. And his little brother's worse. Jackson Mahomes is the absolute worst.
Yeah, he's pretty
bad. But between the two of them, they just need to slow down and find another hobby. Because that's just annoying.
713-780-3776, 3522, trying to bring the heat on a Frankie's Friday fire scene. The Killer Bees are known for taking from other shows. Shame on you guys. Work on your own original material.
What did we take from another show?
I think the nickname for the game, the Kansas City game, you called it the KC Masterpiece. You got
that? Oh, because they were talking about their ideas. Yeah, you know what fire you get fired. You're not getting anywhere near a gift card this week. But nice try. Way to be supportive of the Killer Bees, honey. Welcome to the Hive.
713-780-ESPN. So Deshaun Watson circulating in the news these last couple of days. Mark Berman, who does it better than anybody else in this city, sleeps at the airports, both airports, some way somehow. But Mark Berman talked to Tony Busby. Tony Busby had a conversation with one of, I guess, Deshaun Watson's handlers, one of the people that...
What's that term?
Well, it's one of the people that sets up all the massages for him.
That could be a handler. That's what the massage therapists say.
The Office of Attorney Tony Busby, who represents 22 women who have filed lawsuits against QB Deshaun Watson alleging sexual harassment and or sexual assault, sent the following release to the media. Rather than respond to multiple individual inquiries about today's deposition in the Deshaun Watson case, he was talking to somebody who was working with Deshaun Watson, whoever it was, this manager of Deshaun Watson, pretty much just plead the fifth on every single question that she was asked by Tony Busby. It's like the Dave Chappelle scene. I plead the fifth over and over again when it came to the questioning that Tony Busby had for one of the people in the Deshaun Watson camp as it regards the massage saga that's going on with DW4.
Well, and when you take it a step further, when I was reading some of this and getting some of the back and forth, even things that she admitted previously that she was a part of or relationships that she had with a certain people, she just completely just kept pleading the fifth and kept just trying to be completely, you know, away from all of it. At a certain point, you can't escape it. I mean, there's just with the police involvement, the investigations, everything on record, all the testimonies, just own what you did. If you don't want to incriminate, that at that point, then you can go to pleading the fifth. But all this is doing is elongating the process again. It's just it's making this thing drag out even longer when you just want all of the off the field to be separated from whatever you're dealing with to get him on the field, whoever he goes to, so the Texans can trade him.
A couple of attorney people that I talked to said it was kind of it's low class, the right word for Tony Busby. To put this public, like, what do you expect? You're going to get a bunch of no comments and a bunch of plead the fist to make it public. A lot of people are looking at that in not a positive way. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HR&P listener line. JR, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Hey, fellas. Great show. Hey, two things on the Texans. One is With the hiring of our new head coach, Brian Flores, possibly, and then Josh McCown, if we go Josh McCown, with the way the franchise is going, with all the beats we have in, you know, the office and things of that nature, you know, that'd be a point to where we could say they're trying to really dismantle the franchise and possibly sell it, and we not have a team for quite some time. And so that's my first question. The second question is, with Deshaun Watson in the situation, is he going to be eligible to play even if he gets drafted? So those are two questions that I have. I mean, not drafted, if he gets traded. Right. So those are really the two questions I've got.
Appreciate the call, JR. As far as the Deshaun Watson, you know, can he play next season? He's going to be able to play football again. If he gets traded this offseason, I would say he's going to play football again next year. A lot of it depends on what happens.
But he's going to miss at least six games regardless.
Probably. Like, I mean, if it all gets settled, though, and like nothing gets to criminal, the criminal court, like, I don't know if it's still going to be six.
But Zeke had the same thing happen.
He got four, right?
He got six. Zeke got six with ever being convicted. So that's why I'm saying, you have to table your expectations for a full season no matter where he goes. And whoever's trading for him realizes no matter what you think you're going to get in the long term, the short term is he's getting a minimum of six, in my opinion, and a lot of others, because of that very factor. And, of course, the league just kind of runs the gamut. They don't always follow past precedents. But if you look at that at all and say it's already been done to that level, even though they weren't convicted. I got to believe he gets six games.
Even if it's six games, though, that's not gonna deter general managers to trade for Deshaun Watson. Because if you're trading for Deshaun Watson, you're trading for a franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. You don't care that he's going to miss the first six games if you're the one trading for Deshaun Watson. The baggage, to me, is more significant than the actual six-game suspension. So you're looking at the next 170 games. If he misses the first six of that stretch where you want him to be your franchise quarterback, it's not going to deter GM staying away from Deshaun. Quarterbacks are way too valuable in the NFL. JR, I didn't get that first question. If you want to text it in, we'll get to it. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Troy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees.
Troy.
So I was wondering, can you hear me?
Yeah. Go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go.
I don't think that the Texans are going to trade Deshaun because of this Watson field issue. Obviously, we know that they need to, and they should. I don't know if any organization was going to be willing to take that on, I don't think the Texans are going to be willing to take what an organization would offer for if they're outside of football because of this off the field issue. No one knows when it's going to be resolved.
You're kind of breaking out there a little bit, Troy, but I heard most of it, and I hope that I heard exactly what you're asking, that what's going on with him legally is going to affect his draft value. Look, a lot needs to play out. Like, if this hits the criminal courts, yes, that's going to significantly reduce the trade value Deshaun Watson has.
It's going to delay even considering.
Yeah, it could kick the can down the road another year. You might be holding on to Deshaun Watson until the offseason of 2023. So, like, that's the next domino that has to fall before you really can have a true grasp of what the trade value for Deshaun Watson is going to be. There's a lot of people, and I would say a majority of the people, that don't think it's going to hit criminal courts. They think it's going to be figured out on the civil circuit. You had the rumors that Deshaun actually already has the paperwork ready to go with half of the women. Now, that's not all of it. You got a lot of hurdles to clear, obviously. I do think that the trade value Deshaun Watson has is going to be less than this three first-rounders, 2 seconds, and a third. I would be shocked if the Houston Texans get three first-rounders for Deshaun Watson.
Here's where a lot matters, okay? There's a couple things you got to take into consideration. If he somehow walks with no convictions and no civil cases that go against him, and he can walk away from it, now you're looking at a chance for that bigger haul we were talking about from the get-go. Here's the other thing you got to keep an eye on is the Rodgers situation, because they're saying even at a much later point in his career age-wise, with two MVPs in his back pocket, Rodgers could command way more than what they were talking about for Deshaun Watson. Teams are going to line up to try and get him. If you end up being second or third trying to get him, but you know the rest of your roster is still waiting for a quarterback that can do some good things short term, you're going to go, hey, now we're interested in Deshaun. Now we're interested in turning the page, and if there's two teams there or more that got left at the altar because someone else traded for Rodgers, they could jump in. They're going to look at Russell Wilson. They're going to look at Deshaun Watson. They're going to go, one of these two guys, and you hope it's Watson, but obviously Russell's older, but he doesn't have any of the other baggage, could boost the prices up for both those guys as well to where we might get more than we thought, whether it be initially or in the case of Watson, after all these other stories broke.
713-780-ESPN. Some callers on the line. We'll get to that when we return. 713-780-3776. Also,
step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.